are listening to Sheep Might Fly, a podcast of serialised fiction written and read by Tansy Maynard Roberts. And the current serial is Girl Reporter. There was a prologue last week, so don't be fooled by the fact that this is Chapter 1. Girl Reporter, Chapter 1. Tina Valentina, The Inside Story. And for the third time this year, the shame cape of the week goes to supervillain Steampunk, who tried to justify iron fishnet tights as a legit costume choice during a break-in at Logie Labs earlier this week. He ended up magnetised to a tank of sodium hydrochloride. That's a big no to metal underwear, kids. Tell your friends. I was about to do my signature, "That's all from the Friday Report, you don't need spandex to be your own hero" sign-off, when I was interrupted by a car horn outside. Damn! It was later than I thought. I closed my laptop in a hurry and shoveled it into my messenger bag. I pulled on my violet Converse at the door before racing out to the outrageously large driveway in front of my mother's outrageously large house. Griff rolled his eyes at me as I threw myself into the passenger seat of his bright blue ute. "You said you'd be ready to go." "I broke a land speed record getting out of the house," I said breathlessly. "Sola herself couldn't do better. I left flaming skid marks on the carpet. Mummy's going to be so pissed off." "Still in your pyjamas, though," he said as he pulled out towards the road. "Don't look, don't look." "I am completely dressed." "It's really killing you not to check." "Not at all," I said primly. When his eyes flicked away from me, I discreetly glanced down at myself. Yep, real clothes. He's such a troll. "How much longer till you get your license back?" he asked. 3 months? "I'm not an unsafe driver. There may, however, have been a teeny miscalculation on my part about the correct regulations for filming a live superhero battle with your phone from the driver's seat of a moving car. I maintain that the arresting officer was biased because he ended up splattered with mutated plasma. Our family lawyer said I was lucky to get away with a suspension considering I'm 20, and everyone knows millennials are thoughtless assholes who shouldn't be trusted in charge of a vehicle. Only he translated it into lawyer speak, which was more like, consider yourself very fortunate, young lady. Griff gives me lifts to and from uni 3 days a week because he saw the look on my face when Mum decided that for security reasons, a chauffeured car was the best solution. The thought of turning up to campus in a car that screams celebrity daughter on board made me want to throw up. She had a point about security concerns. I'm not famous enough in my own right that taking a bus is a daily hassle, but my childhood was not 100% kidnapping free. Griff was a good compromise, and I was grateful for his offer, except for him being the trolliest troll who ever lived. Griff spent the first 25 years of his life not having siblings, and suddenly I'm there for him to work out all his big brother fantasies. Not that he's my brother. Our family is complicated. "So," I said, fiddling with my phone. "Don't point that thing at me," he said, hands on the wheel, not even glancing in my direction. "I'm not giving you a soundbite, Fry." "You can't tell me you don't have an opinion, Kid Dark," I whined, because yeah, maybe I'd also waited my entire life to be someone's bratty little sister. "It's the superhero spill. Everyone has an opinion." He winced. "I hate that everyone calls it that now. You and your frickin' hashtags, Fry. You can swear in front of me. I'm a grown-up. I could drink tequila for breakfast if I wanted to." "I've seen you drink tequila. I think that's a gross overestimation of your abilities." "Fine," I grumbled. "I get it. You're not going to give me a quote. Any chance you could get me a contact number for Solar so I can hear what a genuine superhero has to say?" "No," he said, before I'd even finished the sentence. "The Dark?" "Nope." "Any of the former or current Astras?" "Friday, what do I always say?" "You always say no," I sighed. "But one day I'll crack you open like a piñata, and all those precious email addresses and mobile numbers will rain down upon me." So, this is me, Friday Valentina, 20-year-old media studies student at MacArthur University. I'm short, and my hair is purple this week. I wear vintage political t-shirts because they're hilarious and tragic at the same time. I'm obsessed with superheroes. The real ones. Not the ones in comics or movies or cartoons. My vlog is the Friday Report. 3 parts superhero news to 3 parts superhero snark. That's what I call balanced journalism. I don't wear makeup, except sometimes the eyeliner pen slips and falls in my general direction, if I want to be fancy. I have a nose stud that's a tiny silver bat, and it's adorable. This is Griff. 25, going on 65. Wears flannel and jeans and work boots to hide the fact that he naturally looks like an emo rock star celebrity pretty boy. All sad eyes and brooding chin. Objectively hot, I state for the record, as a proud bisexual woman who almost never kisses boys. Did I mention? He's a frickin' superhero. Griff shuts me down every time I try and talk about that side of his life. Which is funny, funny, but also funny weird, because him talking about superheroes is the reason we met in the first place. We were still squabbling about the superhero spill when Griff pulled into the uni car park. So, he said, looking shifty, I have something for your mum. Can you pass it on? Sure, I said, and waited. He handed me an envelope. It's a ticket to my graduation. I thought she might. I know she's busy and everything. She probably won't be free. But I wouldn't have got this far without her, so. I closed my fingers around the envelope carefully. I knew what this meant. Griff is 4 parts emotional armor to 1 part snark, and he has almost as much snark as I do, so that's a lot of armor. It broke my heart that he couldn't admit that this mattered to him. He'd waited until now, less than 2 weeks before graduation. Hell. He waited until she was out of the country, and even then he couldn't bring himself to ask. It broke my heart extra that I knew for a fact she wouldn't make it, even if he'd put his graduation on her schedule 6 months ago. She's in Peru at the moment, or Botswana, kind of big hush-hush interview, I told him. But I'll get Maggie to put this in her diary. If she's back in time, we'll let you know. No big deal, said Griff. It was so a big deal. But I had my own worries. Like, the reason my mum wasn't going to get back from Peru or Botswana anytime soon was she was not in either of those places. Tina Valentina. Everyone in Australia knows her name. They've seen her current affairs show. Or maybe they used to watch her in daytime when she was the queen of the celebrity puff piece. They might have bought something from her lipstick range or her line of professional women's workwear made from ethical fabrics. Or they read one of her articles. Or someone gave them one of her books for Christmas. Let's face it, none of those things are her biggest claim to fame. My mother was the first Australian reporter to interview a real superhero. That's going to be mentioned in the first paragraph of her obituary someday. These days, journos get open access to superheroes. In the 80s, the media had to hunt their sport. Tina Valentina was all teased fringe and shoulder pads and peach lipstick back then because 1987. She was 20 years old, the same age I am now. Did she know when she woke up that morning that her fashion choice for the day would be immortalised on magazine covers, on posters, parody sketch comedy, on YouTube? It was 1987. No one even dreamed of YouTube. They were still coming to terms with VHS winning the home video wars. Most of the world has my mother bookmarked at that moment, 30 years ago, when she interviewed Solar. And for like 5 seconds, his serious hero face slipped. He gave her a smile, like he was a real person. The world fell stupidly in love with that stupid smile of his, and they shipped him like whoa with the girl reporter. She's so much more than that footnote in history. Tina Valentina, just turned 50, though she doesn't look it, is a brilliant businesswoman, a shark of an interviewer, a devastating political analyst, and documentary filmmaker. She's the author of 3 best-selling books, Scooped, about the changing face of Australian journalism at the end of the 20th century, Solar, in his own words, a compilation of her most famous interviews with the superhero, and most recently, J. Jupiter, The Kid Dark Story. J. Jupiter was one of the more recent great mysteries of Aussie superhero history. He was the youngest person in Australia ever chosen to step into the machine that transforms ordinary people into our national superheroes. Also, he was the first Aussie superhero who disappeared rather than lose his powers. A few years ago, he crept back onto the scene, nearly a decade after his disappearance, fighting crime at the side of his old partner, The Dark. Social media broke The Kid Dark story. He was captured on Instagram in a series of blurry night shots that raised more questions than they answered. All the old conspiracy theories and a bunch of new ones fired up across every platform that rocked a hashtag. Enter Tina Valentina, who blew Tumblr, Twitter and Instagram away in one fell swoop by tracking the bloke down and capturing his life in print. She knew J. Jupiter's story would change the way that the world looked at superheroes. And she wasn't wrong. J. Jupiter, The Kid Dark Story is a stellar example of Tina Valentina taking control of the narrative, which she's managed to do throughout her entire career with every story except the Solar Romance. There's no stopping that train wreck. Mum claims that she tracked down the elusive Kid Dark using her investigative skills. The truth is, she ran into him at the gym. Turns out the owner-manager of that gym is a former Australia's Mightiest Hero herself, which is why my mother went there in the first place. Kid Dark / J. Jupiter hid himself pretty well. Changed his name, dyed his hair. As Griff, he was a student volunteer, crashing in the basement of the same boys' home that raised him, before the machine turned him into a back-flipping, cartwheeling, parkouring teen superhero. He was juggling two jobs and on the verge of dropping out of uni when Mum asked him for help with her abdominal crunches. Griff had no money, an uncertain future, no family he hadn't found for himself and little belief in his own abilities, but he had a great story. And Tina Valentina is all about the story. She invited Griff into our home. He lived there for nearly a year discussing his superhero history with my mother in a series of in-depth interviews that she transformed into an award-winning article and a best-selling book. By the end of that year, he felt like family. He taught me how to cook eggs 6 different ways, how to mend fuses, and how to detail my own car. Griff's voice comes through clearly in Tina's accounting of his life. His very Australian, down-to-earth, bloke-of-the-people voice. And the people responded. They loved his underdog fights the system story and lapped up every word. Finding the Kid Dark put my mother back on top again. Reminded the world that she was still the voice of superhero country in this country. Tina didn't just give Griff's story to the world. She took responsibility for what came next. She put him in touch with a financial planner to manage his share of the advance for the book. She boosted his confidence along with his bank balance and encouraged him to commit to his studies and his future. Mums are mighty creatures. And he had no defence against mine. With a double major of psychology and social work, Griff's planning to save the world the old-fashioned way, one kid in risk at a time. Unlike the majority of graduates, he'll be able to do that with some financial security. So yeah, I can see why he feels that he owes Tina Valentina. That's only going to make it harder when he figures out the truth. 2 weeks after that conversation in the car, I went to Griff's graduation. Which, I guess that was a weird choice. He certainly wasn't expecting me. But I had Mum's ticket. I didn't want him to be alone. Trust me to assume that our family was the centre of his universe. I sat through the long speeches and presentations and the handshakes. When I went searching for him after, I found that he already had a posse. Friday, Griff said, surprised enough to use my real name. Hey. I gave him an awkward hug. Sorry, Mum wanted to be here, but she's on a plane to Numidia. Or the Sudan, or the Nullarbor. Was it obvious yet that I had no bloody clue where in the world she was? Griff introduced me to his people. This is Liam and Bluey and Danny. I knew those names. The first two were teens from the boys' home. They were the inspiration for his degree and his career plans. Danny's presence was unexpected. I'd figured out some time ago that Griff's boss and the manager of my mother's favourite gym was the mighty blonde hero formerly known as Catsuit. I'd never been face to face with her before. This was kind of a problem because she was my first superhero crush and was somehow even more attractive now she was older, wiser, and those biceps were fruits of her own hard work. I've never wanted a celebrity to sign my boobs more than in that moment. To save myself from total humiliation, I gave Griff a sisterly punch on the arm. Tell me the truth. You gave the Dark an invite too, right? He's disguised as an ordinary citizen right here in this room. Griff's face flared up into a fierce blush. I love getting proof that he's a natural redhead, despite his habit of dyeing his hair dark. Shut the hell up, Fry. Ha! You said shut up, one of the kids said, elbow him. I'm allowed to, Bluey, because I'm a friggin' grown-up. Oh, this was unexpectedly adorable. I stayed longer than I meant to. There was plenty of wine floating around, plus those little cheese things on sticks. Griff's orphans were pretty great. They hassled him about his superhero antics almost as much as I did. I'm impressed, Friday Valentina, Griff drawled at one point. I thought he was going to out me about my super obvious crush on his friend Danny, but instead he said, you've barely checked your phone all afternoon. Isn't it all going down this week? He didn't have to say, hashtag superhero spell. We were both thinking it. Nothing to report until the lottery goes live tomorrow, I said. It's all empty speculation and bullshit right now. Today we watch and wait. I leaned in, lifting my eyebrows. Unless you have any insider knowledge. Come on, tell the truth. The Dark is disguised as one of these pot plants? Or that little old lady with the cane by the exit? Griff shook his head, smiling. The Dark wouldn't be seen dead in a place like this, kiddo. Too much fluorescent lighting. Plays havoc with his complexion. So that means you're not going to give me his number? Yes, he said, with a glance across the room at Danny. Like, that's the superhero number you want from me right now. I punched his arm harder this time. Thanks for listening to Sheep Might Fly. You can sign up to my author newsletter for updates. Follow me on Twitter at TansyRR or Sheep Might Fly. Find me on Facebook at TansyRR Books. And if you like this podcast, consider supporting me at Patreon, where you can receive all kinds of cool rewards, early ebooks, and exclusive stories for a small monthly pledge. See you next week for more adventures of Friday Valentina.